Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Pretty good indicator on how much the Lord loves us this morning, amen? Sweet move of His Spirit during worship, and then an awesome, almost sounded like our cantor right there. Amen. Bless His heart. Bless the Word. I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. I want to continue kind of talking about following Jesus Christ. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this this kick of following Jesus, but it opens up so many opportunities to discuss things that I think we all kind of ponder in our hearts and our minds throughout our journey in pursuing and following Jesus Christ. We were called by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow Him, but only was not just take Him, follow me. It was take up your cross and follow me. Anybody remember that portion of scripture? And by those very statements, it's a great invitation. And I think most of us, when we initially receive Jesus Christ, or even are haven't really committed our lives to Christ, but we're very curious and seeking and wondering about it. And then maybe when we do come to that point where we make a decision to ask Him to come into our lives, we ponder a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And in those moments, we sense that great euphoria of following. You know, following sounds real good. It sounds awesome. I'm going to follow Jesus, keep my eyes on Him. I'm going to heaven. I'm hanging out with Jesus from now until then. And then your feet hit the ground and real life begins to come at you. Anybody understand where I'm going with this? And real life tends to dampen your enthusiasm a little bit sometimes. And then I think that other part of his statement really begins to make it clear. Come follow me, but take up your cross daily and follow me. The indication is that you're going to get crucified every day, which is a pretty heavy statement. Does not really win friends and influence people. You know what I'm saying? It's not the kind of thing you want to hear when you talk about Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy and His sacrifice on the cross and all of those things. But there is a very harsh reality that we have to face that is a very strong part of our constitution as Christians. It's part of what motivates us, part of what sustains us, it's part of what gives us courage and strength and face situations that we had no control over, and yet they have come our way because of life, and yet we make our way through it somehow. And I have heard more than once, many times probably, people say about myself or you or any of us as Christians, how in the world did you make it through that? I can't believe that you were able to make it through that problem, whatever that problem may have been, or that life situation. And we've all been there. We find ourselves going through difficulties and troubles and trials. And then on the other side, we look back and we realize that we have been sustained by something bigger than us, greater than us, above us. And we acknowledge that. And then when people say things like, how did you make it through that? We can say confidently, it was the power of the Lord. It was Jesus Christ. It was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that helped me make it through this situation. Because frankly, if we depended on our own abilities, how many of you would be with me? Let me raise my hand first. How many of you would be with me and say, I can't make it without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Amen. And so I want to discuss with you following Christ, and I want you to get a good perspective of what grace is really all about. And I want to dispel some thoughts and some ideas, but I want to instill in you hopefully a solid grip, and it may take 15 sermons to do that. I've read great books on grace, but I hope that by the time this message is over, it will be enough for you to chew on and think about and begin to apply to your walk with Christ, and realize that there is a major thing happening in you as you embrace the true grace of the Lord. What a good dad that guy is, isn't he? Power to the people. By the way, that is a calling, if you didn't know that. So in the book of Ephesians, the very first chapter, I want to read some scripture that's very, very positive scripture, very positive word, which I think in our troubling times is probably some of the scriptures we really, really need to get a grip on. Following Jesus sounds so simple and so easy when you first become a Christian, because you're overwhelmed with that anointing of the Holy Spirit and the grace that comes to you at salvation, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or whatever point of wherever point you're at in your walk with Christ. But at each time the work of grace happens in our lives, it does something major in us spiritually, so that we are able to be sustained by the hand of the Lord or the grace of the Lord as we endure whatever life may throw at us. And I've seen examples of that, especially some of the Christian testimonies that are coming out of Iraq and the Middle East, where there's just, I mean, if you're a Christian, it's life or death situation. And there have been many people who, of course, been martyred for Christ. And the interesting thing is, there's another scripture in 2 Corinthians that talks about the grace of God being sufficient. I don't have the grace of God to be a martyr this morning. But if I am being martyred this morning, I'm certain the grace of the Lord will be sufficient for me. I don't go around looking to be martyred, nor do I want to be, but I do know from many hundreds of testimonies that I've read about and church history that you've read about, you begin quickly to realize whatever grace is needed for the situation is sufficient for you to make it through that situation. Does that make sense to you? And so I want to talk about following Jesus in His grace. And that is a very important aspect of Christianity. In fact, it's probably one of the main aspects for us to really purview when we're thinking about really following Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, as He encourages us to do. But let me begin reading in the seventh verse, first chapter, book of Ephesians. You need to read this whole first chapter a couple of times. And there is richness there. I don't know what you're going through this morning. You know, once in a while people will give us a prayer request, and sometimes I just sense in my spirit you might be going through something, and I want to be sensitive to that. But let me give you some encouragement. The Word of God has something about everything in it. You just have to know where it's at. The first chapter of the book of Ephesians is probably one of the most dynamic portions of Scripture in reference to grace in a proper context. Yes. And I want you to understand that, because we have been led to believe, and we have been given, you know, all kinds of counseling and encouragement and all kinds of interpretations of a lot of things about God's grace. I want you to get a handle on what God's grace is really all about. And so let me read these couple of verses and just give you the flavor of this chapter, so that you can go home and read this entire chapter. I'm not asking you to read the whole book, although it will refer to grace throughout this book. In fact, it's a very gracious book. But this first chapter will speak to you about your position in Christ. And I'm talking to Christians this morning. If you have not made a commitment to Christ, but you're seeking and you're desiring to do that, it still stands to be the truth. The grace of the Lord is sufficient for you, and you need to have a proper grip on what the grace of God is in your relationship to Him. It will do wonders for you when you're in the midst of a trial or trouble. So let me just begin reading in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches. Well, that just begins to build, doesn't it? According to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. There are things that God holds in abeyance, does not readily and quickly give it out. The knowledge of the things and the workings of the Holy Spirit, many times we don't understand them. They don't happen all the time. The works and the effects and the ministry of grace in our lives, sometimes we're even absent from even recognizing that it's happening to us. But I assure you that when this sermon's over, you will at least get a little bit of a grip on what God's purposes are. His purposes are to have a great relationship with you, whereas He sets the example, you follow Him, and He rewards you by pouring out His grace and His mercy and His love and His guidance and His strength and so forth, and whatever you might have to have need of that day. And that's why the grace of the Lord that He bestows upon us and the forgiveness that is in harmony with that becomes a power source in our lives. In fact, if we do not have a healthy understanding of the grace of the Lord, we cannot avoid temptation. We cannot avoid sin. We cannot avoid failure. For it is the grace of God that makes us successful Christians. Amen? And I want to explain that that whole concept to you. But let me emphasize a couple things before I get any further so that you can kind of grasp the context of what we're talking about. In whom we have redemption through His blood establishes the foundation upon which everything God does in our lives is anchored. That's the foundation, that we have redemption. Redemption meaning that we have forgiveness of sins. We have right standing with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. We walk in holiness and righteousness and purity by the help and the hand of God and His grace. Amen? Redemption. We were once lost, and we are now found. We were lost in sin and deserving of death and punishment, and we are now forgiven and sins washed away, and we are redeemed. We have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And so when we begin to understand where we are positionally, we'll understand that our following of Christ is made more efficient and more powerful as we learn what forgiveness of sins by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in application is all about. Because here's the deal. Once you are forgiven of your sins, once Jesus Christ has come into your life, in fact, before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the grace of God has already been meddling around with your life. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit who applies all grace to us. It's the Holy Spirit that does all the works of grace, all the works of redemption, all the works of regeneration and sanctification and justification and the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that is the agent that does it. He's the one of the Godhead that actually does that work. Jesus Christ, of course, has established the foundation, and based on that foundation, the Holy Spirit is then instructed how to move and minister into our lives. And so by His instruction, He applies the kind of grace that we need for the time that we're in. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to clarify some things by telling you what grace is not, and in doing so, kind of allude to some of the misunderstandings about grace. And I think it's very important because you need to understand that grace is not sparked by anything we do. Grace is sparked by the decision-making of God. God chooses to pour His grace upon you. Now, you can seek Him, but you can't seek Him without being drawn by the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so God initiates all grace. God is the one who gets everything started. You think you found God. Actually, God already knew where you're at, but He actually found you. He went searching for you and found you and rescued you and redeemed you, all by His love and His grace. Amen? Because if He'd have sought you, found you in the condition you were in, He had every right to fry you like a fritter. Amen? Because you had sinned against Him. And that's what makes God's grace so dynamic for us. Even if we've been a Christian for 90 years, it doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian, but what you need to know is you do nothing about grace. God does everything about grace. We are just the thankful beneficiaries of God's choice to do something in your life. Hello? I know you thought you were in control, and I know you still think you're in control in a lot of ways, but it's actually sparked by God. In fact, God is not only active in your life, but He's proactive in your life. And once in a while, He begins to bring elements into your life of this relationship with Him that takes on new dynamics. And you think they're new revelations to you, and they are to you, but they're not new revelations to the Word of God, but they're new revelations to your relationship with Him as He begins to pour His grace into your life, and He instructs and teaches and grants you the wisdom that He talks about here. And pours it into your life. And I kind of like that. I like it all being God's responsibility. Not that I don't want to take responsibility for my life, because that is a part of God's grace being bestowed upon you. But it's that I like God being the one who figures out I have a need. And He also knows how to meet that need. And He knows how to apply the right kind of grace to my heart. Amen? Is that making any kind of sense to you? So God sparks it based upon actions. Grace has been defined by unmerited, a definition, unmerited favor of God. That is true to an extent as far as you and I are concerned. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
It's going to get better in a second. It's going to get rich.
That's all right.
It is not an unmerited favor. It's unmerited as far as you and I are concerned, because we can do nothing to affect the grace of God, the love of God in our life. He loves us unconditionally. He loves you just as you are before you accepted His Son and after He accepted His Son. He's loved everybody on this planet, and He wants them all to come into the fold of God and into the family of God. But here's the deal. There was something that was done to merit. There was an act that took place that merited the application of God's grace in our lives. And what was that action? It was Jesus Christ at Calvary, and we are redeemed through His blood. So His act of redemption was done at the cross. And so based on what Christ did at the cross, we now have access to the grace of God. Now, we can't manipulate God. We can't manipulate grace. We can't make God love us. We can't do that. He already does that. But what we can do is influence His application of His grace. By me seeking Him and wanting to know His Son and welcoming His Son into my life, repenting of my sins and all those things that we do to find favor with God, then God chooses to apply His grace to us based on what Jesus did. Now, Jesus didn't do that for the world. Jesus didn't die on the cross for the world. He died on the cross for you. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, it was universally offered to everyone. Whosoever will can receive this salvation. However, He did it for individual people, not a group of people. You follow what I'm saying? And so every one of us who receive the grace of the Lord, we receive it on a personal basis. So wherever you are in your walk, in your pursuit, or your following of Jesus Christ, you are attuned to how God wants to move and minister in your life His grace and His love and His compassion and His mercy. And let me tell you something. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. On your side, on my side, we don't deserve an ounce of what God does for us. But God is willing to do all things for us and apply His grace to every aspect of our lives. How many of you needed God's grace to be applied to somewhere in your life? Amen. I think we've all been in that position periodically. In fact, I think we're in that position continually. I need the grace of God to live, move, breathe, everything. I need God to help this poor boy. And you're saying, yeah, Lord, help the boy, help the boy. You're right. He needs help. And so the grace of God covers all the work of God. He justifies us with His gracious act. He continues to sustain us and provide for us. And it is an ongoing work in our lives because we're not perfected yet. I was going to say, well, maybe Clayton, but he's hidden here this morning. But there's a few that maybe think they're perfect, but we're not perfect yet. Is anybody perfect yet?
No.
Don't scratch your nose. I'll think you're saying that. And so the whole work of God and the necessity for it is because we're prone to do the opposite of what God wants us to do. Grace is sufficient to us because He knows we're too weak without His strength of grace in our lives. Amen? Now, I want you to understand some aspects about grace that you need to understand to have a clear and kind of balanced. See, I'm all for balance, because it's when you get all off the key that you get whacked out, and I don't like hanging out with whacked out people. I went through that when I first became a Christian. I kind of don't like it anymore. Well, this is some things you need to understand. Grace is the application of God's love and mercy to our lives. And yes, we haven't earned it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to get it. He gives it graciously. He gives it based on His love for you. And with that being said, you need to understand that grace is not an excuse for sin. Just because God loves you, just because He pours His grace and His mercy out on you, does not mean that's a license for you to go ahead or an excuse for you to go ahead and keep sinning. Amen? So we want to get a good grasp on this. Grace is free. It's available. It's God's willingness to show blessing and merit and good things in your life and forgiveness and mercy and all those things in your life. But that cannot be abused by us using that as an excuse for sin. It does not overlook wrongdoing either. It's not an excuse, nor does grace overlook wrongdoing. And that's very important to know, because grace, if anything else, it does this. It holds us responsible for our individual sin. Am I losing you? It holds us responsible for our individual sin. Now, when the grace of God first comes into our life and we first receive Christ, all of our sins are washed away. All the sins that you've done in the past are washed away. In fact, they're not even brought up and remembered again. They're never. God, if He sends you to hell, will not be on the basis of your past sin. It'll be on the basis of your rejection after you've known Jesus Christ. Amen? And by the way, that's the only way you go to hell. It's not because you did some dastardly deed. It's because you rejected Jesus Christ's grace and mercy and blessing. Amen? And so it's not an excuse, it's not an overlooking of our sin, it does not give us a license before the Lord to do any kind of sin that we may want to do. It doesn't forget our wrongdoing either. Grace does not wash away our wrongdoing if we do not repent. Am I making sense? So He does not forsake the believer either. So grace is available to everyone who has accepted Christ. Everyone, for that matter, but for those who are Christians following Christ, and that's who we're talking to, grace is not a warm feeling that you experience. Grace is God's way of granting mercy and forgiveness to you so that you can walk right. Hello? So you can walk right before Him. I like that. I like that. God takes responsibility. All I have to do is respond to Him with the full confidence that He's going to help me not to sin anymore. He's going to grant me grace if I do sin, and He's going to pour mercy and forgiveness on me if I repent of my sin. That's why I don't ascribe, and I'm just going to mention it to you. Not that I want to make a big deal about it. I just want to mention it to you. That's why I do not subscribe to the idea of your past, present, and future sins being forgiven. First of all, when you accept Jesus Christ, your past sins are forgiven. From that moment past, they're forgiven. Hello? But any sin that you're doing right now is not already pre-forgiven. Does that make any sense to anybody? Ryan and I had a good discussion about this the other day. It's very important for you to understand that grace does not go into the future and forgive sins that you have not even committed yet. Am I being clear? And so every time you do sin as a Christian, and I know you do, I've got ushers that travel around the community, and they're looking, and all these dens of iniquity, and they're looking to see if you're in there. And then they report back to me, and I write them down. And no. I know we're a fallen person. We're sinful by nature, and it's only the grace of God that prevents us from walking in that nature. So He begins to try to build the nature of Christ in us so that we will walk in grace and mercy and holiness and purity and right with God, righteousness, amen? That's His goal. But He knows as well as you and I know that we get weak sometimes, amen? Anybody ever been weak? You can lift your hand halfway? Okay. So we get weak, and God knows that, and that's why He's the one that is the distributor of grace. He's the one that decides the grace, and He does so on the basis of what your heart is right now. And so if you've sinned as a Christian, and you have not dealt with this, this idea of grace, lovey-dovey, good, warm-feeling grace, and it is awesome, don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing that. You don't have to deal with it at all, that grace covers it. No, it does not. It does not cover wrongdoing. It does not ignore wrongdoing. The grace of the Lord will make you aware of wrongdoing. He will not condemn you for that, but He will convict you to cause you to find sorrow and repentance and let Him forgive you again. Amen. Not save you again. You're saved. But forgive you for your current sin. Amen. And the future, which you have, why do you need to be forgiven for a sin you've never committed yet? Hello? Oh, well, God knows the future. Yeah, he does. But you ain't been there yet. Amen. So we deal with the here and the now. In fact, this is another reason that statement when God said, I am that I am. Remember he tells Moses that? When you go down, tell my people, tell them, I am that I am. You know what that means? It means I am eternally now. See, the past is gone, folks. And all we have is the future. Present and the future. The future we haven't lived yet, so what are we dealing with? We're dealing with I am that I am, right now, here and now, right now, with the Lord. Am I making sense? And so the grace of God is designed to minister to us right now, right where we're at. Not tomorrow. We don't worry about tomorrow. It's not here yet. We worry about right now. We don't worry about the past, and that's where Christians get hung up also. They don't realize that the grace of God is not only sufficient for you in a current problem. The grace of God is sufficient to wash that away out of your heart, out of your mind, and make it no longer baggage that condemns you. How many of you have thought about your old life, and the devil, of course, loves for you to start thinking about it, because then he begins to just work it in your mind, amen? But how many of you have been hung up because I used to be a rank sinner over here, and I can't quite get free of that because I can't forgive myself for being such a lowlife? Am I the only one here? Thank you, Dorothy, thank you. And so, though the enemy may work on your mind, it's you that has to deal with sin because the devil didn't sin. You did. And by the way, the devil didn't make you sin either. He just opened the door for you. Like any polite gentleman, he'll open the door for you. And so the grace of God is all important to us as Christians. Because if I've sinned, and I have sinned before, and I'm standing here with the Lord with a sin that has not been dealt with, I may call upon the grace of God to make me feel good. I have to deal with that sin. I have to deal with that sin just like I dealt with all my past sins. I've got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've got to ask him, Lord, pour your grace upon me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me, for I have sinned against you. And here's the one good thing. Jesus Christ is just and faithful. This is where grace comes in. Do you deserve it? No, you've done it 10 times. You need to be smacked. You know what I'm saying? No. You don't deserve it. Even when you're repenting, you don't deserve forgiveness. But God's grace is so loaded with love and his concern for you and his desire to build the nature of Christ in you that he's just and faithful to forgive you of your sin. Amen? Now, listen to me. Let me give one caveat to that. If you've prayed and God has forgiven you of that, would you please just forget it? Yeah. Don't let it haunt you. You've been forgiven, forget it and go on. Get up and go on. Dust yourself up and get on with it. Because he doesn't hold it against you. When he has forgiven you, it is forgiven. And it does not need to be forgiven 15 times unless you do it again 15 times. But isn't God just and isn't he faithful to pour his grace out upon us and let those blessings come to us? Now, some of you, I can tell you, I read your mind like a neon sign. Some of you are thinking, well, I'm not sinning right now. And you're letting this just shave the top of your head. You're pitching it to the guy right behind you. Yeah, no, that guy, he needs this grace thing. No, you all need this grace thing. We all need this grace thing. Because every one of us are not perfect. And we need the grace of God to make up the difference in our imperfection and what God expects of us as Christians. Because it buffers us from the judgment of God. Ooh. Let me ask you this and prove my point. How many of you have sinned and procrastinated and procrastinated and procrastinated on really dealing with it? In fact, you just kind of become repressive. You just kind of repress it and ignore that you've done it and just let it go and let it kind of take care of itself. How many of you have done that? And I know all of you have. But if you've done that, how did that work for you? And what I mean by that is, if you don't deal with it as immediately as you can, and you let it begin to build, it will produce bad things down the road. Does anybody care anymore about that? In order to avoid the consequences of your sin, you need to deal with that sin. But I thought he was talking about grace. I am talking about grace. I'm talking about grace. If you don't get grace on your sin, you're going to pay some consequences down the road. Hello? I know you didn't want to hear this. But it's actually very encouraging to me. Because I know that, God, if I could just get to you, get to my knees, get some way, pray and ask you to forgive me for this and help me. Here's the cool things that grace does for you. Not only does it relieve you of the anxiety and the guilt, it begins to replace in you the joy of your salvation. And he removes that guilt and that uncleanness, and he gets it out of your life, and he restores you to perfect standing with God. That's the grace of God. And when the perfect standing with God happens, God begins to pour his blessings back upon your life. If you do not, God does not. If you do not, and by the way, if you do not deal with that sin, it's a likelihood that if you continue not to deal with that sin, you'll probably do it again. And if you do it again, guess what? It's probably going to be that down the road a little ways, you're going to reject Jesus Christ. And don't tell me you can't lose your salvation. Only dopes think that. People that don't live real life. You need to deal with your sin. And how do you do that? With one of the greatest free offerings that has ever been given to mankind. Through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, is the very same way you cleanse your heart right now. Let Jesus wash you clean from any sin or any failure before the Lord. This is boring, isn't it? And so when God begins to pour his grace upon you and lead you as you follow him, just some wonderful things begin to take place in your life. And you're all experiencing some of this and don't often realize that, but it's very important that you realize that the requirements of the Lord are easy. They're not the heavy, burdensome thing of rejecting or not dealing with sin and not dealing with failure and not dealing with the things that displease the Lord. Your life will take on a living hell. I'm just telling you the truth. It's just the truth. It'll take on aspects that will be dark. Your mind, your thoughts will begin to go into the darkness rather than the light. You'll begin to see that your attitude begins to change. You'll become irritable and angry, and you will move over to the dark side. And redemption will be harder to find, and following Christ will be impossible. So with the requirement of righteousness that grace demands, it also helps us attain it. Think about that. God says, you've got to be holy. I don't have nothing to do with you. He doesn't really say that. I said that because it has better effect. You must be holy because I am holy. You must be holy. But I know you can't be holy because you're just a people. And I'm God. And therefore, I must love you and show mercy and grace to you in order for you to live up to this standard that I've set. How many of you are holy this morning? One or two of you? You've recognized. No, though, that's actually very good. Very good. Although I always have my hand up and I'm half time wrong. But anyway, what's good about that is recognizing that you are in Christ. And that's ultimately where I'm going with this. When you are in Christ, all these things become somewhat automatic. So all these things become understood. All of these things recognize that as I follow Christ, this is the most positive, powerful, blessed life to live as I follow him and accept the free gift of salvation and the grace of God that helps me fulfill that salvation in my life. Raising your hand is absolutely what you need to do. I am full of grace in Jesus Christ. And so as Christians, we walk in the grace. We're beneficiaries of the grace. God doesn't go around looking for every little flaw in our life. His grace is sufficient for us right where we're at. I like that because God is the one who does it all. And it's not that I'm lazy. But if somebody offers me a free meal, I'm going to take it. You know what I'm saying? And if God says, I'll give you eternal life and I'll walk with you and I'll sustain you, and where you have shortcomings, my grace will be sufficient to make up the difference in what I want in your life. And so God works in us to make us like Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, the only one he ever really accepted was Jesus. Amen? You know anybody else on the planet that was ever perfect? No, only Jesus. The Son of God was accepted by God from Calvary to heaven. He accepted His Son and His Son's sacrifice. And so through Him and on the basis of His goodness, hey, guess what? We have been set free and we have full liberty in Christ. With the full confidence that should I stumble, I can ask God to help me and His grace will be sufficient. And He'd rather we would never sin, but if we do, Jesus Christ is ready and prepared to forgive us and apply the grace and to do the things necessary, change our hearts, change our minds, change our thinking. I'll guarantee you that when you're walking close to God, your thinking is far different than when you're not walking close to God. Amen? And that's what grace is. And it's a balance of grace. It's the kind of thing that we understand where God is doing a work and He's not doing an extreme thing. He's doing what you need at this time for your personal life. Now, some of you are going through some pretty serious issues and some of you are going to be through some pretty serious issues. So it might behoove us to get a pretty good balance on God's choosing to apply His grace in our life. The great thing about it is He is the sovereign God. So His judgment is going to be righteous. It's going to be right. Amen? Whatever God decides to do, it's going to be the right thing at the right time in the right circumstances. And so God is the sovereign applicator of grace. He applies grace in a sovereign way. As God, yes. And as the example, yes. And as the perfect, yes. But He applies it to the imperfect. Think about that. God applies grace to the imperfect being. And He chooses to extend on the basis of what Christ has done, His action at the cross. He chooses to extend that freely to us if we would but want it. Man, that's like Grandpa owning a candy store. And I can have all the candy I want if I just go want it. Amen? The grace of the Lord. And it's the answer for every situation. It's the answer for the abused child. It's the answer for the wayward teenager. It's the answer for the adult that has ruined his life and finds himself at 67 years old living by the bus station in Yakima. Living out of a stolen grocery cart. Lives that have been destroyed. And yet, He is the applicator of grace. How many testimonies have we heard from great people who gave their hearts to Jesus Christ at any one of those levels, any one of those situations, any one of those human conditions? They gave themselves to Christ. And what do they say? The grace of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord has changed my life, transformed my life. Were they worthy of it? Not at all. But the great sovereign applicator, the applier of grace, applies grace to the unworthy. He applies forgiveness to the rank sinner, the wrongdoer. To the unworthy, He makes them worthy. To the unrighteous, He makes them pure. By His grace, He applies grace, and suddenly something takes place in our lives. And we're never the same. Even if you walk away that moment or walk away from God and say, I don't want any more to do with that, you're walking away, you're still not the same person you were when you encountered Jesus Christ. Amen. And so something you need to understand is the grace of God covers all of our conditions. He gives us grace when we undeserve it, we're not deserving of it, and He blesses us when we're rebellious. He puts hope in us when we have forsaken Him, and He forgives us when we have done rank things against Him. That's the kind of God we serve. But more than that, that's the kind of grace He applies. Grace that heals the sick. Grace that delivers the drug addict, the alcoholic, the abuser of all kinds of things, vanities and all kinds of... you use your own imagination. I don't have to draw you a picture. It's the grace that transforms that into righteousness. And that's why sometimes when we're praying up here for folks that come with a condition or a need or whatever, that's what we pray. God, you change the circumstances. You change the person. You make the changes necessary to turn this bad thing into something good. Hello? Turn this bad thing into something good. What's that? That's grace. I don't There's nothing I can say to God to convince him. He does it on the basis of his love for Jesus and on the basis of my love for Jesus. God pours out his grace upon us. And then the old rank, whatever reason your life is in the condition it's in, one touch of his grace and your life is transformed. Just a touch of his mercy. Deserving? No. Worthy? No. No, 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 no. There's nothing I can do to deserve the grace of God. There's nothing I can do to manipulate God to give me his grace. All I can do is love his son. If I love his son, he pours out all his grace upon me. Now, if you're in that position where you don't need grace today, awesome, praise God. But as for me and my house, we need the grace of God all the time. And I want you to pour it out upon me. And when I think I got everything together and suddenly realize my world is shattering around me, it's the grace of God that sustains me through that, through anything. I got accused of not practicing what I preach. I preached a sermon one time when I was talking about, and I don't know what you guys think about preachers. I want you to understand something. Preachers go through every single thing you guys go through.
Preach, Pastor.
Sometimes maybe more, because the pastor of the church has to endure things for the church. And so I don't know what people think about preachers being perfect or something like that. No, never touched by trouble or anything like that. But it's not true. And I've discovered one day when I preached a sermon, I just shared that that I was kind of struggling through something mentally, and of course it affects you spiritually and otherwise. And it was the kind of thing where I was confused about God doing something or answering prayer, or I can't even remember the whole story about it. But I was talking about my struggle with it. Not that I was encouraging you to keep struggling with it, but then I was accused, well, you're not even practicing what you preach. You preach that there's an answer here, that God will sustain you. And well, yes, that's what I believe. I'm using that as an illustration. That's where we're all at. We all struggle because we don't always understand. And yet it's the great grace of God that brings sense to everything in our lives. It's his grace that helps us endure the hardships we go through. And they're going to come. That's what life is. It's living here, but it's hardships. Am I whining and crying? No, I'm just saying, hey, I found that the grace of God is sufficient to get through these things. Amen? And so, when you begin to apply a kind of a balanced understanding of the grace of God, there's some things you need to understand about how he applies that and how to follow him. Recognize that it's his choice to bestow. But if you just sit there with big sad eyes, he ain't afraid to bestow it. You ever see those pictures? Those old cats or whatever, their big eyes like that, it looks so pitiful. You don't have to do that. You have to be willing to openly confess yourself before the Lord. And you know what? Confession doesn't always mean confession of wrongdoing. Did you get past that one? Confession is just saying, oh Lord, I am weak and I am undone and I need you. We just sang about it in one of our songs. In your presence, we're undone. Hello? I tend to listen to the words of these songs. And it's true. We don't have to necessarily have done anything wrong, but there's something about confession. Lord, I am me and you are God. And you are worthy of everything about me. I give you praise, all of that. And then you begin to glimpse what grace is really all about. It's about your relationship. It's about his loving you and you loving him. And that's an awesome thing, because love is an interesting thing. Love overlooks error. Love overlooks problems and issues. You know how I know that? Some of you have been married a long, long time. You're way ahead of me, aren't you? And it's because you love your husband that you don't knock him in the head. Am I right? And it's because you love your wife, you don't go screaming through the house, kicking the dog, and all that kind of stuff. Love overlooks sin, overlooks faults, overlooks wrongdoings. Not that you don't have to deal with it, you do. But because you love that person, you're not going to hold that against them. Amen? Oh, you might remind them about it now and then, but you're not going to Well, you might wrap them up in a bed sheet and beat them with a broom. I don't know. But so far, I've escaped that. Praise the Lord for that. So it's His choice to bestow it. Now, we can appeal to God, and God responds to our appeal. Isn't that cool? We talk to Him. And one preacher, well, when I got saved, the night I got saved, told me, talk to Him like you talk to your best friend. You want to know how to talk to God? Talk to Him like you talk to your neighbor, your best friend. And when I began to talk to Him in as if He were my best friend, I just started telling Him, hey, man, this is how I feel. This is what it's like. This is what, bam, grace hit me right in the face and changed my life. And so that's what I've been talking about for as many years as I've been preaching the gospel. But you and I, you know what I'm talking about. We can appeal. We can call upon God and ask for that. And we can confess ourselves before Him. Not, well, you should confess every wrongdoing, of course. But when you confess yourself before Him, it is an acknowledging of His greatness and His sovereignty. God, You are God and I am not. You help me run my life. Don't let me take charge. When I take charge, I'm inevitably in the ditch. Amen, Brother Connor. Please help the boy. So, you know, appealing, repenting, all those kinds of things are ways we appeal to God, or we talk to God in this relationship. And by the way, He'd like to talk to you a little more, so call Him up, will you? We can repent and God forgives us. We can appeal and God gives us grace. We can choose to follow and God gives us grace to help us accomplish following Jesus Christ. It's sufficient for you. It's qualified. And one of the other great things about the grace of God, it is tailor-made to every individual. The grace of God is tailor-made, that's just an expression, to every individual. And I'll give you just an example. Chad, you're obviously a different person than me, but your personality, your commitments, your responsibilities are different than mine. I mean, similar. I'm a parent. You're a parent. You're a husband. But God's grace, when He applies it to you, is tailor-made for you, because the things you go through and the things you battle and all the things that make up your following Christ is going to be same in that we're following Christ, but not same in how it's applied to me, because I'm a different human being. And that's why I'm telling you that you need to get a balanced view of how God's grace works in your life, because it's made for you. Now, I can apply principles to you and share principles with you about grace, but when grace is experienced, it's experienced by you. And God applies it in your life because He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going to resist, and He knows what you're going to be willing to accept. And did you know that's the hindrance of you receiving a lot of blessings from God? You don't receive a lot of blessings from God, or certain blessings from God, because you don't believe He's going to do it. And you have not opened yourself up to let all the grace of God that's tailor-made for you, and let Him do all He wants to do. And in doing so, He will pour out bounty and blessings in your life. Amen. Now, you don't have to give another offering for me to give you that truth. That's free. But we resist the hand of the Lord. We even resist His grace. There are people that are so entrenched in their baggage that they call out for deliverance, but they don't really want it, because they're comfortable in all of that baggage. And so they'll only allow a certain amount of grace to make them feel good. Hello? But they'll reject that which will deliver them. I'm wondering, how many times have you as an individual struggled when you didn't have to struggle? When the grace was there and you just didn't get a hold of it or let it work in your life? I don't have all the answers to this, but I do know that sometimes we're our own worst enemy to allow God to do things in our lives. I have this goal. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow close to Him so I know every move He makes, I can make it with Him and follow Him as someone who is following Him. And someone who is following a teacher, I want to learn more, I want to get closer, all that kind of stuff. And yet, if I hold back myself from following, how am I going to receive the benefit of the grace that applies to that following? It's going to be a conflict between me and Christ, isn't it? Am I not going to be resisting the very grace that will help me? How many of you have done that? This is better. Have you ever known people that are just, pathological liars? I was going to say something, but I'm not going to go political. Oh, gosh. That was too subtle, and yet you guys all got it. I've known people, this is the honest truth, I've known people that will lie to you when the truth would get them out of trouble. Have you known them? I can name names. And I'm talking about my family. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about my family or any of you. I'm just talking about, I've got brothers that would lie to you, right, bold-faced lie to you, when if they told you the truth, they'd got out of trouble. And I can't figure that. It's because they just cannot release that and let the grace of God do something for them in that area. And the thing about it is, if they would let the grace of God deliver them out of their baggage, they would discover freedom, which is what they're crying and whining and wanting. So they fight against the very thing that will give them what they want, a need. And that's why in the scripture it tells us, don't resist the grace of the Lord. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't resist, because He is the Spirit of grace. Therefore, don't resist the Spirit. Don't resist grace that will help you. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm going to close with this. Salvation is offered to the entire world through Jesus Christ. And the promise is known by every nation on this planet. Everybody knows what Christianity is, salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ because of His Son. That's known by every religion and almost every person on the planet. They may not know the details and all that kind of stuff, and the Bethlehem and the resurrection and all that. They may not know any of that, but they pretty much know that Jesus Christ offers salvation and heaven or eternal life through Him. Now let me ask you something. Why is it that God can offer eternal life to everybody freely? Just come and accept my Son, repent of your sins, and let me change you and transform you. They offered to the whole world, yet the world would rather live in darkness than accept a free gift of eternal life. It just blows your mind. But when you understand that the human spirit oftentimes relishes or loves to stay right in the middle of the soup rather than get out of it. Right in the middle of their baggage, right in the middle of their problem, right in the middle of their dependency, the addiction, the bad relationship, the whatever, that is negative in their life. They'd rather be there because they're so used to it. That the grace of God promises freedom, liberty, get away from that. And yet they'd rather stay there than have eternal life. Think about that. So what's the balanced view I'm talking about? I'm talking about, hey, we have a responsibility to walk right before God no matter what. Even Jesus Christ commands us to follow close and walk in holiness and so forth. And so there's a responsibility. Grace does not absolve us of our responsibility. So that's one. But grace does offer deliverance from all issues of our life, all difficulties, if we completely surrender and accept Jesus Christ. And the third thing is, He will sustain us by His hand, by His grace, through every issue of our life if we would but let Him. Those three things keep in mind. That is balanced understanding of grace. Not something to excuse you for your failure, but to help you become successful. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes. In the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about the grace of the Lord this morning, because I realize, sometimes, even as a preacher, you begin to think, I got this all down, and then you just finally walk into this situation where you realize you don't have it down. You need God to apply new grace into your life. If we walk in the grace of the Lord or walk in the Spirit, same thing, we're walking in the Spirit of truth, Spirit of grace, God will help us through all of our life situations, every one of them, every one of them. If that weren't so, the Bible would not have told us. But Jesus declares to us, Through him we have liberty, peace, and eternity forever with him. Hey, you may think that going to heaven is just a bunch of us learning how to play a four-stringed harp. You know, floating around on clouds, flapping wings. That's not what heaven is, man. There's going to be Harley Davidsons in heaven. Yeah, yeah. I know you don't believe it, but it's true. Harley Davidson. Be golfing. Hole in one on every hole. Gosh, it's going to be great. It's just going to be awesome. Heaven's certainly not going to be dull. It's going to be awesome. And the fulfillment of grace is going to happen on the day when Jesus returns. For the Bible says that when he comes, there'll be a shout, the trump of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, 6 foot farther to go. That's a bad joke. That's just a bad joke. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air. You know what the Bible says? In a twinkling of an eye. I don't know. That's where light reflects off your eye. I don't know how fast that is. That's gotta be, it's not me blinking my eye. It's light reflecting off my eye. In a twinkling of an eye, that which is mortal will take on immortality. This old body will be transformed. And you know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like Jesus' body. For when I see him, I will see him as he is, and I will become like him. Hello. Finally got it right when Jesus comes back. The grace of God is building and moving and ministering in our lives to get us to that place that when Jesus steps onto the clouds of glory, you and I will rise to meet him. And all of our struggles, all of our weaknesses, all of our sin, everything is going to be gone. And we will be transformed, taking on immortality. Gosh, what a great hope is all in the working of God's grace. And I believe it. I just believe it. I can't stop talking, can I? Father, I bless you this morning. I worship you this morning. I acknowledge you in all the aspects of my life. You are God of my life. You take charge. You be the king. You be the sovereign. You be the Lord of my life. And as I yield more and more, as I discover more and more I need to yield, Father, let the grace of God flow that I might be successful in releasing it to you and walk close and faithfully with my God. That's my hope, that's my hunger, that's my desire, and ultimately that's our goal. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand this morning. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.